All right, and once again, we are so happy to be hearing a special speaker tonight. Our speaker tonight is Brother Ben Weeks, and once again, we want to thank Brother Jacob Roseberry, who was able to send this message to us. The title of the message is Why Victory Doesn't Always Come Easy. Once again, Why Victory Does Not Always Come Easy. And the title of the message really grabbed me earlier today because of everything that, as we just mentioned a moment ago, all the great things that are taking place, things are beginning to line up, and we're about to go into battle. But just as we're about to take the victory, there's always something, church, that comes up. There's always something that takes place that creates a deterrence or creates an obstacle or creates doubt or fear and takes a stab at our faith. But church, this is where we learn how to stand up and fight. So once again, we're going to flow with this title tonight. Why Victory Does Not Always Come Easy. It was preached back in 2007. Once again, we want to thank Brother Jacob Roseberry for helping us with all the technology and loading up these messages. We're going to be hearing part one tonight, and we are starting now.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
It's so good to be in this place tonight. Feel the presence of the Lord that we feel. Anybody been feeling the Holy Ghost around here tonight? Praise God. Feel a wonderful spirit in this place. And I just believe God wants to do something special for somebody in this house tonight. Before these lights are turned out and the doors are locked tonight, somebody could leave here an altogether different person, because the Holy Ghost is able to make that kind of a difference in your life. Praise God. If you would turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12. We appreciate this opportunity. Good to be here among all these ministering brethren. We respect them and appreciate them highly. Praise God. There are so many men here tonight that have contributed greatly to what I am. And so whether that's good or bad, I know not, praise God. But certainly true, it's like the husband and his wife, they were talking. And he said, honey, you have made me what I am. He said, look at me, I'm a millionaire. And you have made me a millionaire. She said, well, honey, what were you before you met me? He said, I was a multi-millionaire. And so thankful for contributions people make to your life. Praise God. But I'm reading Acts chapter 12, and I feel kind of like my little girl. I was helping her with her homework recently, and she was going over some memory verses. And I believe the memory verse was, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. And we went over that several times, and she had it. So finally I said, Abby, where is that found? And without any hesitation, she said, 2 Scribrimiums 2 and 7. I said, you know, this is the pastor's daughter. She's supposed to know better. And I said, no, Abby. 2 Scribrimiums. She said, Dad, I knew it was 2 Corimony. And I don't know. I may be looking for 2 Scribrimiums before the night is over. But I hope you'll help me preach for just a few minutes tonight. Now, you helped all the singers sing, and you got with everything so far. It'd be a shame if you just missed out on a blessing because you didn't help the preacher preach. Amen. Acts chapter number 12, and I will read verse number 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, "Thou art mad," but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. Let's ask the Lord to bless his word. God, we love you today. God, we thank you for your word, that it is quick, that it is powerful, that it is sharp, that it is alive. We ask you, God, to anoint us. Help, Lord, this weak and frail vessel tonight. I am in need of your grace. Lord, I am in need of your anointing once more. I love you, dear God. I love you, dear Jesus. I praise your great name, Lord. God, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all of the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. There are times when victories come easy. And it seems that God allows victories to come easy, especially early on in our Christian walk. I find in the Bible how that God took Israel the long way around toward Canaan because he didn't want them to come quickly, to become quickly and easily discouraged. The Bible said that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. I'm thankful for God's keeping power tonight. Even though that was near, for God said, "Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Israel." So they wouldn't change their minds at the beginning of the journey. God spared them some great adversity. He cushioned them from some hardships. He kept them from some battles. Sometimes in pastoring, I observe people and I watch at times new converts that cannot understand why some of the older saints and some of the seasoned saints are not jumping quite as high. And they're not making as many laps and they're not skipping across the church as fast as what some of the new ones are. And after all, every time I prayed, God's answered my prayers. And, you know, you just have faith and God's going to do it for you. And it seems so simple and it seems so easy. And every time that I called on him, I felt the rush and I felt the glory of his presence. And I just don't understand somebody that's not feeling what I'm feeling and experiencing what I experience. And I am not tonight excusing a lack of worship in the church. Please don't get me wrong. But I am going to tell you that I have left some worship services where others got a breakthrough, but I still didn't have an answer. Where I walked away from some church services and my burdens, I'm sad to say, but my burdens were just as heavy when I walked out the door as they had been when I walked in the door. Oh, I don't want to cross swords with anybody today, but I'm going to tell you today that I have lived long enough. I know I had some bad times, and I know that I've had times when God didn't take the burden and God didn't quite answer like I wanted him to do. But can I tell you that I have lived long enough to turn around and bless some of my dark days? I have lived long enough to thank God for some of the trials He sent my way. And I can tell you this, that I have learned some things in the valley about God that I'd have never known had it all been sweet and had it all been victory and had it all been the miraculous in my life. Oh, there's been times that I understood why, Brother Pruitt, victory didn't come too easy. You know, it seems, and just my observations and also reading the Word of God, how that sometimes when victory does come too easy, we have a tendency to slack off a little. We have a tendency when God really is blessing us to become complacent and to get a little careless and to get a little comfortable, a little too comfortable and a little at ease in Zion. You read in your Bible how that Israel's first challenge in Canaan was that great city called Jericho. And yet it really wasn't a challenge to Israel, and it wasn't a challenge to their God, because in spite of the height of those walls and in spite of the width of those walls and in spite of the wealth of the city and in spite of the disdain of its citizens and in spite of the intimidation of such a mighty fortress, all they had to do was march around those walls, and all they had to do was shout when God said shout. And the walls came down, and God gave them the city, and God placed it into their hands, and it was theirs quite easily. Victory came easy. And yet, when they start looking at the next battle, and when they start directing their attention to the next obstacle, a little town by the name of Ai, and you find that they're looking and they're planning to go to this next place, and it didn't seem to be near as much of a challenge as Jericho was. It didn't seem to be near as intimidating as Jericho was, and yet, there was a whole lot of them. They said, hey, we just want to sit down and rest and sit this one out. We'd just like to kick back and take it easy on this one. Can I tell you that's what happens when victory comes too easy? Ooh, hallelujah. They come to Joshua and they said, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. We've had a great victory. Let's just rest a little bit. Let us kick back and take it easy. Can I tell you tonight, this first night of this Bible conference in Jenneret, Louisiana, this is not the time to take it easy. This is not the time to kick back and to relax and feel like you've got it made. Can I tell you, there is a battle to fight. There is a struggle that we're involved in. There is an obstacle ahead of us, and we need everybody involved. We need everybody to be a part. We need everybody to take the load. We need everybody to get under the burden. This is not the time to feel like that we've got it all made and everything is all right. And can I tell you, you get done with this battle, there'll be another battle. There's always a battle. There's always a struggle. There's never a time to take it easy. There's always a fight in prayer. There's always a fight in worship. There's always a fight in outreach. There's always a fight for revival. Hallelujah. I read to you tonight in Acts chapter number 12, where the Apostle Peter was kept in prison. And Herod had every intention of executing him. And he was sitting there waiting on the time when he was going to get called to be drug out. And I'm going to tell you, the devil has every intention of dragging the church down. Every church.
Amen. Every preacher, every minister, every child of God, there's none of us exempt today. The devil really thinks he can whip you. The devil really thinks he can get you. The devil's convinced he's going to have you backsliding before too long. It doesn't matter if you preach the gospel 30 years or you've been a dear saint for 50 years. He's convinced he's going to get you somewhere down the road. Amen. Every intention of bringing this man of God down. But oh God, somewhere before Herod's plans could be brought out, God sent some supernatural intervention. You know, I'm not here tonight because I've been so strong, and I'm not here because I've been so smart, and I'm not here because I've been able to win every battle myself. But I'm going to tell you, there's been times God sent an angel my way, that God sent supernatural intervention my way. When I couldn't get out myself, when I couldn't break free on my own, God sent some supernatural intervention for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Smote him on the side. Said, arise up quickly. The Bible said the chains fell off. And the angel said, get your clothes on and put on your shoes and follow me. And the Bible said that he followed and wist not that it was true. He thought he saw a vision. He thought it was a dream. And the Bible says that they went on and they passed the first ward, and then they passed the second ward. I'm going to tell you, when God begins to send supernatural help, there are some doors that they open so easily. You didn't have to do anything to open that door. You didn't have to say any magic words to get the door open. You didn't have to prove how spiritual you were to open that door. But I'm telling you, the door just opened. You couldn't take the credit for it. You couldn't say, look how tough I was. You couldn't say, my, how mighty I am. All you could say is, to God be the glory. When I couldn't do it myself, God came through. When I couldn't get out on my own, God sent deliverance to me. Oh, I'm here to tell you tonight, I thank God for God's deliverance. I thank God that he sent some help my way when I could not make it by myself. Amen. The door, it just opened. The door of the prison. And I want to tell you tonight, if you are in a prison, God is able to set you free. I don't care if you're in a prison to alcohol. I don't care if you're in a prison to immorality. I don't care if drugs have you in a prison. I don't care if tobacco has you in a prison. I don't care if depression has you in a prison. I don't care if the devil has told you you'll never get out. God's got deliverance for you. It don't matter how deep you are in that prison. It don't matter how long you've been in that prison. It don't matter how you feel about the prison. God is able to deliver you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a whole lot of testimonies tonight right here in this place. If you had time, you can look around and say, my, this is a clean-cut bunch. My, this is a holy-looking bunch. But I guarantee you, just about every kind of sin that could be committed is sitting right here on these pews. You don't know what God has delivered us from. You don't know the prison God has taken us out of. You don't know the depths we were in when God sent a messenger to us, the messenger of deliverance. Praise the Lord. And God not only took him through one prison door, he took him through two prison doors. I don't know how deep you may be, but you're not too deep that God can't get you out. You know, I've seen people come to God and God delivers them from their cigarette smoking, and God delivers them from their drugs and God delivers them from their alcohol. And I mean, God does it in a moment, but a year later, they're still wrestling with a bad attitude. A little while later, they're still showing signs of rebellion. They hadn't got through that second prison door yet. But I'm going to tell you, if you keep walking with God and you keep letting the Holy Ghost move and you keep responding when God steps into the building, I'm going to tell you, He'll get you through that second prison door just like He got you through the first. God can deliver you from bad moods, and God can deliver you from unforgiveness, and God can deliver you from bitterness, and God can deliver you from hate, just like He did from drugs. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. Then they went a little further, and Acts 12 says they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. Now I understand that the community leaders met at the gate. And I understand that business was conducted at the gate. And I understand that buying and selling took place at the gate. But this door opened just like the prison door opened. This wasn't the prison. This was the city. This is where people made a living. This is where people bought and sold. This is where people did business negotiations. And isn't it amazing? The same power that opened up the prison door opened up the city gate. Can I tell you that God not only wants to deliver you from sin, and He not only wants to take you out of prison, but God's got a productive life for you. I've seen people really get committed and really get serious and really get dedicated, and God starts blessing their business, and God starts blessing their finances, and God starts giving them favor on the job and favor with their clients and favor with their boss. I'm telling you, the same God that opened up the prison can open up doors of business and doors of opportunity and pour you out a blessing. Amen. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. He can open up the door. You're frustrated tonight? God can open up that door. You say, I'd like to be able to give more to missions and give more to home missions and give more to the work of God. God can open up that door. I've been struggling in my business and it seems like everything I've done has gone south. I'm telling you, God can open up that door. I'm confused and I don't know what to do and what kind of decision to make. I'm telling you, God can open up that door. Oh, hallelujah. I just so happen to believe God likes to bless His people. Amen. I just believe that God's got people in our churches that God wants to bless their business, that God wants to bless their checkbook, that God wants to bless the labor of their hands. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so God opened another door for this great man. And the Bible said that when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent His angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod." And when he thought about it a bit, he decided to go to where he knew that they had been praying. You know, it's a good church when you don't have to wonder, have they been praying? You know it's a powerful church when you know they've been praying. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, when backsliders start knowing the church is praying, when lukewarm saints start knowing the church is praying, it'll even do the preacher good when he starts knowing the church is praying. Amen. He goes to the house of Mary. and he knocks at the door of the gate. He knocks at the door of the gate. Now wait a minute. Didn't the Bible just tell me that the prison door opened? He didn't have to beg. He didn't have to plead. He didn't have to come up with some magic formula. The prison door just made a way. Didn't it just tell me that the city gate opened of his own accord? And yet he gets to the house of Mary. And now he's knocking at this door. Can I tell you tonight that somewhere in your Christian walk, you're going to get to a door that don't open so easily. And yes, you need to testify about all the times God did move. And yeah, you need to go back and think about all the times that God made a way and all the doors that God did open. And you need to go back over your testimony and remember how He saved you and remember the power of God, how it was working. But somewhere in your walk with God, there's going to be a door that you stand at and it don't open. There's going to be a door you knock on and it don't seem to be budging. There's going to be prayers you pray and they don't seem to be answered. And it might even be the door that seems to be the one that ought to open. After all, this was where the saints were that had been praying for him. This is where prayer without ceasing had been made by the church for him. This is where his friends are. This is where those people are that seem to care the most about him and care the most about his ministry. But now we find the angel is not there and this lonely preacher is standing at the door and he is knocking with hope and he is knocking with expectation and he is knocking with trust that somewhere the door is going to open. Could I be preaching to some saints tonight that you have seen God work miracles in the past? You have seen God move in a mighty way. You cannot deny what God has performed on your behalf somewhere back there. But this time you're standing at a door that will not move. This time you're knocking at a door that will not open. You prayed and believed God and it still hadn't happened. You felt like God gave you promises and still they haven't been fulfilled. You trusted God and you held on and you fasted 3 days and it seemed that the mountain is still in the way. I've come to tell you tonight you're going to come to a door that will not open somewhere and you got to stand out there lonely and still trust God. You got to stand out there in the cold and still trust God. You got to stand with your prayers unanswered and still trust God that somewhere the door will open.
Praise the Lord, everybody. What a tremendous message we heard tonight by Brother Weeks. And again, at the beginning of the message, endure hardness like a good soldier. Enduring hardness like a good soldier when victory doesn't come that easy. And as we were listening to this message tonight, I couldn't help but to take notice how that we heard the same spirit, the same anointing, and the same burden that we've been hearing here at our church here in the last few weeks, in the last few days. At the end, he mentioned about a door that will not open. There it is. When we get to that point where everything's going our way, but then there comes that obstacle, that temptation, that doubt, that door that just doesn't seem
to open. Church, we have the formula for success now. Let's take up that most holy faith, that most holy faith that Pastor Clark preached about here in the last week, and let's put it to use. We talked about how all this faith that has been built up with Brother Alcantar, and how Pastor Clark is activating that faith. And Brother Ryle, in his message yesterday morning, he's telling us how to activate that faith. We got to go out there and do something. Let's do it, church. Let's do it together as one body. Let's take up this most holy faith, and let's begin to work in the harvest of the Lord. Praise God. I hope everyone enjoyed this tonight, and that everyone will be meditating and praying upon this. Please be doing that over the next few days, and we hope to see everybody at church on Wednesday night. God bless all of you in Jesus' name. Dios los bendiga. Amen. Amen.